It's that time of year again. It's the time of year. Can you hear me? Hello? Test? Maybe I probably didn't turn my mic on. Can you hear me now? I turned it off. That's why. My bad. Oh, test one. Can you hear me? Nothing? Maybe this is the God's way of telling me to come closer to you. Nothing? Got me? Can you hear me now? I guess I don't need to ask you that because I know. I know when you can hear me. Okay. It's that time of year. It's the time of year when ovens fire up, filled with goodies and treats that will only be had in December. It's the time of year when tree farms that stood silent all through the planting season fill with hordes of happy people looking for that perfect tree to adopt into the family for the next month. It's the time of year when you carry a plate of cookies over to the neighbors, the ones you haven't had the time to catch up with this year, and you let them know that you're still there and that you still care about them. It's the time of year when folks will dance merrily to "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas," even though they hate the snow. It's the time of year that even the backwoods boys who haven't seen the inside of a store other than Ace Hardware wander the aisles of Nordstrom looking for the one thing that will bring delight to their wives on Christmas morning. It's the time of year folks celebrate and think deeply the incarnation of Christ, God becoming man. It's the time of year when parents sit their children down on the couch and seniors sit alone wrapped in a blanket and read quietly a story like this one. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, we've heard this story before, so it's just old hat. We don't even think about it. But let me start from the beginning of this story, and let me read it again. And put yourself out in the middle of a field, all alone with your sheep, and an angel of the Lord shows up. All right. So if you really want to get into this, maybe tonight you could go sit out in one of these fields. You got to get outside of town where there's no more lights other than the lights from the heavens. Sit alone and just imagine what you would feel like if an angel of the Lord showed up. And then maybe you'll start to understand this a little bit better. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. My back door swung open with the wind the other day, and I was filled with great fear. I can't imagine what would happen if an angel of the Lord showed up. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude, which was probably like 10,000, of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." That's it. That's what I'm looking for. It's peace. I think that's what this celebration is all about. Peace on earth. That's what folks are trying to find during this festival of God became man. They're looking for peace. But quickly, December's feelings of peace turn to a January of resolution. You are back to the grind. You're angry in traffic again. The wife who worked so hard to make you happy on Christmas morning is now angry, and you wonder if your marriage will make it to next Christmas. The husband who loved you and worked hard for you is gone now. The family that visited in December is back home, and you find yourself alone. Your children are making terrible choices, and you stay awake at night in fear of what will happen to them. The factory you work at has found a much cheaper way to make their products somewhere else, and you wonder if they're going to move the factory there. Where's the peace on earth that the angels sang about? They promised this boy would bring peace on earth. What did they mean? How do I get it? When Jesus rode into Israel, a lot of people thought, here we're going to finally get peace. And they thought they would get it by military might. And time has gone on, and not really much has changed. If you really think about it, you think, if there is a God, how is the world like this? Where is the peace? I was riding with a guy the other day, and he says, no one is coming to save you. And I can't say all that he said because it was had a lot of colorful language in there that would get me fired. But he said, no one is coming to save you. Jesus is not real. You are on your own. He says, if there was a God who loved you, then the world would not be like this. But the angels sang about peace, and they said this boy would bring peace. But they weren't talking about military peace. They were talking about a different peace. Can we, can you, can I, can we find peace on earth? I think we can. I've gone through, with the help of others, I've gone through and I've picked out three things that when the angels said, peace on earth, three things, almost a pathway to how you can have peace on earth, not just right now, not just this month. I work so hard during this month just to have some time with my family and just to slow down, watch some Christmas movies. The other day, my wife looked at me and said, that was one of the best nights we've ever had as a family. You know what I did? I just made sure we played hide-and-go-seek in the house. We read Polar Express together. I threw the kids around the living room for a while. And I just felt like I'm dadding right. But all I was doing was spending time with my kids, and I felt like, this is peaceful. I want that year-round. Can we have that year-round? Can you have that peace year-round? I think so, and I think the angels weren't just saying things. I think you can have peace. Now, there was a sailor on his way home for Christmas. He had been raised in church. He knew theology. He knew of Christ. He knew of the incarnation. God became man. He knew all that. But it didn't bring him any peace. But he was searching for peace, and he met these guys at the military base, and they told him about Jesus in a way that he hadn't heard it before. And it pulled up questions inside of him that he had never thought of before. And this deepened the intensity of his search for peace. And so when he was on his way home for Christmas, he went to a newsstand to find something to read. And he found a book called Peace with God by Billy Graham. And he read that book. And that night he started the very first step in the process to peace with God. And we know that as justification. That was my grandpa. And that set off a chain of events in my family that has led to me being here. Just an unbelievable event in his life that changed his life. But the first step is justification by faith. That's how you can have peace on earth. In Romans 5:1, Pastor mentioned it this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the baby that came in the manger. That's step number one. You have to believe. And now, just like my grandpa and my great-grandpa, who was also raised religious but never met Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity tonight, if you're young or if you're old, if you just started coming here or if you're a pillar of the church, you must be born again if you want to experience peace with God. And you may be sitting here tonight and you may have lived life here in this church. You might have done a lot of good works. And you may be sitting here and you say, I have no peace with God. It's not too late. The first step is to believe in Jesus and you will have peace with God tonight. That's the first step. It's the process of sanctification. It's the beginning. Justification, it happens immediately. You will have peace with God. When Jesus came in a manger, he brought a way to reconcile man to God. You had sinned. You had broken the relationship with God. When Jesus came in the manger, what the angels were talking about was the most important aspect, that you can now be reconciled to God. Can you imagine the very one that lends you breath, you're now changing his diaper? That's what happened when God became man. Can you imagine the very one that gives you breath is now sitting beside you eating dinner? I don't know what they ate in Israel, but he's sitting beside you having dinner with you. I've often thought about what I would say if I had dinner with Jesus. I think I would say, I like you. Yeah, I think I would say, thank you. But that's what happened. Jesus became, God became man, Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, you will be saved. You may be sitting here tonight. I don't care who you are. I want to offer to you that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have peace with God, reconciled to God for the sins that you've committed. That's step number one. Step number two, and this is like sanctification is progressive. So justification is in there. Belief, justification of your sins, that is in there. That's step number one in this progress of sanctification. But it goes on. Sanctification is a process that happens in the lives of true believers. The first step in sanctification is when you believe. It's what we just talked about. It's immediate. It happens right away. The second step is growing more and more like Christ. This is the hard one because it's every day. The justification is now. The progressive sanctification is every day. And it's what happens when you look at Jesus and you see his glory and you want to be like him. And the more you look on his glory, the more you say, that's the way I want to be. The more you're less like your old self, the more you're like Jesus Christ. Imagine hanging around someone you deeply love. For me, when I preach, and people that know my dad and have sat under my dad's ministry, they hear me, they say, you sound like your dad. Well, that's because I sat under my dad's preaching. I idolized my dad. I hardly ever listened to his messages because I had most of them memorized. And so I would just wait, and if he told one of his stories really good, I just got excited, and I wanted to look around and see what other people felt. I idolized him, and I learned from him. And the more that I learned from him, the more I became like him. That's what this is talking about. When you look on Jesus and you see the beauty of Jesus, you become more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is living in the Spirit. This is walking with the Spirit. The best way I can describe, I wanted to go through and have an airtight theology and describe this very well. But the more I tried to explain it, the more confused I got. And so I've thought of a couple of stories. I had a friend, and I was giving him the gospel, and my dad was giving him the gospel, and we were working back and forth. And the man comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I was excited. But there were some things in his life that made me nervous. Some things that he did that made me nervous. One of them, and I say this kind of gently because there's other ages, is he would DJ at bars where they had drag shows. And I thought, you know what? At some point, somebody needs to tell him that that's probably not what Christian folks should be doing. But I thought, probably now is not the time for that. And I said, God, give me a good time to just kind of say, that's probably not a good idea to be playing music there and hanging out there. And then one day we were talking, and he was telling me about how money was tighter in his family. And I said, well, why is money tighter in your family? He said, well, I mean, I quit DJing at those clubs, and so I just don't have as much money anymore. And I thought, who told you you shouldn't do that? Well, the Spirit living inside of him now, that's who told him he shouldn't do that. Nobody needed to say it to him. He realized that through this growing process in Christ, and this is what sanctification is. You become more and more like Christ. The less you become like your old self, the more you look like Jesus. It's obedience. There was a man that I used to know, he could have played pro baseball, but he hurt himself, and so he became angry, and nobody in town liked him. He was an angry man, and then he met Jesus, and he changed. More and more as he grew in Christ, he changed until finally the town fell in love with him. They named the baseball park that I grew up playing baseball, and they named it after him because when he met Jesus, he changed. It wasn't him. It was the Spirit living inside him. It was this process of sanctification. There's a young pastor, and he was newly married, and he was just trying to figure out how to be married and how to love his wife and how to get along. And they went out and they bought their very first Christmas tree together. And as they were winding the lights around the tree, their relationship was coming unwound. And finally, the young pastor grabs the Christmas tree and he throws it out the front door into the yard. And he sits down on the couch and the wife gets angry and she drives away. She goes to see her mom. And the husband is sitting alone in the house when it's supposed to be a happy time, and he thinks, that's just not right. It's this little voice inside of him says, you know what, that wasn't okay. So he goes back out into the yard, and he grabs the tree, and he sets it back up. And he goes to bed alone, and the wife, who is driving a long distance to see her mom, she stops to get a drink. And she's sitting in the drive-thru, and she thinks, that's just going to be so embarrassing if I show up to my mom's house and I say, we can't make it work at Christmas time. How are we going to make it work the rest of the year? And so she drives home. And she gets back in bed, and they don't talk for 3 days at Christmas time. But over the years, they both individually love Christ. And they both keep talking with each other, and they both keep working with each other, and they both keep praying. And the less they become like their old sinful selves, the more they become like Jesus, because they've looked on his glory, they've seen it, and his spirit inside of you works inside of you, and you become more and more like Christ, and you have more and more peace in this world. That is what the angels were talking about when they said peace on earth. This is the peace that Jesus brought. It's not your own good character. It's the Holy Spirit working inside of you. How many of you had moments like that? You know, that moment where you're just like off the chain. I had one the other day. It was over the Ohio State-Michigan game where I lost it on my mother, right? She only watches one football game a year, and that's just to annoy me. And so we were talking back and forth, and I just completely lost my mind. I stormed out of the house. And as I was driving home, my spirit was disturbed. My wife and my kids are talking to me, but I can't hear them because somebody else is talking to me. And this is the peace that I have, is because I know that I've looked on this image of Jesus, and I know that's not Christ-like. And I will only have peace when I call my mother and I say, I'm sorry. And so you do. This is how you have peace on earth. This is the peace that Jesus brought. It's obedience. It's obedience, and it's more than that. It's also being led and having your life led by the Spirit. My wife got a job offer the other day. Well, she got a job interview the other day. And so it's a job she's always wanted, but she has to change hospitals. So she goes to this other hospital for an interview, and she says, what should I do? I said, I don't know, interview. And so she goes to the interview, and she says, absolutely no way. She goes, the hospital's not as nice. Sure, I would be able to work with my sister, but it's not as nice of a hospital. It doesn't sound like everybody gets along like they do in my hospital. I just want to stay at my hospital. And I said, well, you know, slow down. I said, because they haven't offered you a job yet. I said, I've been around the horn a few times. When somebody offers you a job, it changes things. And you're like, wait a second, you know, that sounds pretty good, right? It changes things. It changes the way you feel about things. And so they did. They called her and offered her a job. And she was torn about it. What should I do? And I says, well, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. I don't even know if I got that right. But, you know, I said, so, I mean, you can just go back and forth. You can turn it down and hope that you get a job, but you don't know. And if there's one thing that I've been working on this year, is that my wife is not my property. And that my wife is a spirit-filled being that is being led by the Spirit. And he uses me in this, right? But in one of my very few wins this year, she called me and she says, they offered me the job, what should I do? And I said, what you should do is you should pray about it. You should talk to your family about it. You should talk to me about it. You should talk to your sister about it. But mainly you should pray about it. And I said, in my life, what happens is I get this little feeling in my gut. It's not an audible voice. It's like a voice. But it's just more of this feeling in my gut that, yes, this is right. And so I said, talk to Jesus. Ask him what you should do. And in a couple of days, I think you should call her back with your answer. A couple of days go by, and what should I do? I said, did you talk to Jesus? She said, I talked to Jesus. And I said, well, what do you think he's telling you? She says, I think he's telling me to go ahead and do it. And I said, good. This is good. Now, what I've done is insulated myself. If the job is bad, she can't be mad at me because I removed myself from the process. But I've also feel like that was a win for me because I've taught my family how to be led by the Spirit in this process of sanctification that we're in. And we can have peace about it now. And so I said, now you know you can have peace about it because you may go there and the job may be great. And that's good. Or you may go there and the job may be terrible. But you can have peace that God led you here. And that's what this process of sanctification is living in the Spirit, understanding that you're becoming more and more like Jesus and that you're being led and you live through the Holy Spirit. And that is my goal for my family. That is my goal for myself. And only in that is how we're going to find peace this Christmas, this year, next year, every year before this one, every year after this one. I got a little worked up on that one. And the third step and the final step on this path to peace on earth is eagerly wait for the second coming of Christ, when we will all receive our glorified bodies. So there's justification, sanctification, glorification. Romans 8, 18 through 19 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Now, let me explain this with a story. I'm in good company because Jesus explained lots of things with stories. So I learned it from him. If you have a problem with it, email God. Christmas Eve, there's 8 kids in my family. Lots of kids. And a lot of times my mom and dad would buy us gifts that you had to set up, and they liked to wait until Christmas Eve. They also liked to have their Christmas mornings to get some sleep. And they had learned over the years that all the kids like to wake up at like 3 a.m. and say, "It's time to open the presents." And so they got smart, and they said, "Now, guys, go to bed, and when you wake up in the morning, you can get up. You just can't come down the stairs until we come and invite you to come down the stairs. Do you understand that?" And we said, "Yeah, we do." But we woke up hours and hours before they did. And so me and my brothers and my sisters, we thought of a plan. We would throw everything we could find down the stairs to try and wake them up. We wouldn't be going down the stairs. We were eager to get downstairs. We were eager to open up presents. We were eager for the arrival of our parents at the bottom of the stairs. So I just remember taking the little chair. I think it came from an ACE school or something like that. And I remember winding up and chucking that thing down the stairs. I threw a trumpet down the stairs. I threw my little sister down the stairs. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I'm just joking. But when I think of Jesus coming back, I have mixed emotions sometimes. I feel like there's so much that I haven't done with my children, my wife. There's so much on earth that I feel like I haven't accomplished. But when I think deeply about the second coming of Christ, I feel like a kid at the top of the stairs again. And I just want to throw things down the stairs in hopes that maybe I can wake up Jesus and say, "Come back now." When you look at the world around us, how can you not say, "Jesus, just come back now. I don't want my kids to grow up in this." But we're here, and so we wait, and we look eagerly to the skies in expectation, and we do what he told us to do. We give the gospel to the people around us because they have an eternity, whether that's with the Jesus that came to bring peace or whether that's eternally separated from him. We all have an eternity, and so we wait and we work eagerly waiting for the day that Jesus comes back with urgency. And that's step 3. And if you put all these three things together, this is what the angels were talking about when they said peace on earth. Jesus comes to bring peace on earth. That's the process of sanctification. That's the steps we all go through on our journey to glory. That's what they meant when they says peace on earth. When my dad was a young pastor, he liked to do Christmas up really, really big. And he thought, "You know what, we live in a small town, but I'm going to do something big for Christmas Eve this year." And so he decided, "I'm going to have a live nativity. We're going to have sheeps and everything." He set out, he lit up hundreds of luminaries. And I'm not talking about mean tweeting famous people. I'm talking about the little bags with sand in them where you light the candle. And he set them all over the parking lot. And he lit these up, he lit these little candles so that when people would drive in, they would see all these candles lit up, and then they would see the live nativity. And after they got to see the live nativity, they would go inside and they would have their candlelit service on Christmas Eve. And my dad was standing inside when one of the shepherds came in, and he said, "The sheep are out of control." And Dad looked outside, and sure enough, One of the biggest, toughest guys in his church was trying to corral these sheep back in the corner of this garage, and one of them jumped at him, and he tripped, and he stumbled backwards over a box, and the sheep made a break for it. The wise men had no idea what to do. The shepherds were exposed as imposters, running in fear from their sheep. Everything was chaos. The baby Jesus was abandoned in the manger after Joseph and Mary gave chase over into the Methodist cemetery. Everything was chaos. Finally, after a while, they corralled the sheep, put them in the back of a truck, and took them away. Mary and Joseph led the worshipers inside for the Christmas Eve service, and all was at peace. But our world is in chaos. The sheep have jumped the fence. They're running wild. Wise men don't know how to contain them. We're out of control. And the only thing that will bring us peace on earth is Jesus. Little boy God in a manger, he came to bring peace. It's justification, it's sanctification, it's glorification. If you want to have peace this Christmas, that is the only real lasting peace you're going to have this Christmas. You may have times like I did the other day where I felt like all is right was with the world and I'm being a good dad. But if you want that to last beyond December, it's Jesus. And that's it. How many of you need peace tonight? How many of you would say, you know what, I'm a believer, but I struggle to have peace. I try to control my entire life by myself. I try to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I try to lead myself in the way of righteousness. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's the Spirit that lives inside of you that gives you the power to do right. You can't come to Jesus on your own. And you can't follow Jesus on your own. But he's asked you to obey him. And by his Spirit, you can do that. How many of you would say tonight, I need to be more like Jesus. I need to look on the glory of Jesus and become more like him. Because there are things in my life that are just out of control. And I need peace in those things. It may be one area. It may be a lot of areas. How many of you would say, I need more peace in my life. I need to be more like Jesus Christ. That's where I'm at. I try to control too much around me. Even in my prayer before I came up here, I'm like, God, help me say something that will change lives tonight. I'm like, wait a second, no. Lord Jesus, use my voice to change other people's lives tonight, because it's him. How many of you need more peace in your life? How many of you need to look on the glory of Jesus again and be more sanctified and be more led by the Spirit this Christmas? How many of you need to sit back and turn off the news for a while and say, Lord Jesus, you didn't come to control the Middle East. You didn't come to control the fighting. You came to change lives. You came to bring peace, not here, because we're just pilgrims here, just immigrants. We're on our way to our heavenly home. How many of you need to look to that and say, Lord, I don't need to worry. I just need to do the work that you told me to do, and that is to share your message with other people. How many of you need to eagerly wait for the coming of Jesus? I'm telling you, it'll bring you peace if you just turn off the news and say, Jesus, introduce me to somebody while I wait here for you to come back and give me my glorified body. Introduce me somebody that I can introduce to you. It will bring you much more peace than turning on the news. I guarantee you that. I went for a while where the news was my homepage, and it brought me anxiety. Eagerly await for the coming of Jesus, and you'll have more peace in your life. Salvation, justification, sanctification. The only way that we're going to get this is that God became flesh. God concarne in flesh with meat. God as a baby. He came to bring peace on earth. He came to give you peace. But how many Christians live without peace? You can do that, you know. You can be a Christian and live without peace. Absolutely, you can do that. I've met a lot of people that do that. They worry their lives away, trying to control their own lives. You won't have that deeper experience. You won't have the deeper experience if you behold Christ's glory and you let him take over your life and you become more like him. I'm rambling now. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Lord Jesus, I need to be more like you. I've trusted in you as my Savior. Now I have peace with God. But Lord Jesus, there are so many areas in my life that I need peace from God on. Lord Jesus, I want to have peace on earth, but I know that I won't have it without peace from God and peace peace with God and peace from God. Lord Jesus, help me give control of my life to you. Help me to obey you. Help me to be led by your Spirit. And help me to wait eagerly and work until the day that you come back. And then I see you as you are. In your name I pray. Amen.